coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report as we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. So glad to have you with us this morning. And Coach, I got to say it, the Fat Pack is back. Now we're a little separated, but the Fat Pack is back.
We are back.
I need alimony.
Oh, my goodness. I am Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Lasters. We're hanging out right here on the back veranda at Quail Creek. Coach Rick Cleveland in our studios. Coach Rick, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm on sabbatical. I can't go to Quail Creek today, so I lost
they,
so much
they
money.
You.
I lost
no, so much money. They banned you. You made so much money yesterday.
Yeah, I lost so much money yesterday. And one of the reasons was I had you as a partner.
Thank God. Thank God.
And you had me. And you had me.
It is bad. I'm telling you the truth. It is bad. It is bad. But, hey, boy, beautiful day out here. They just got the bullpen kicked off out here at Quail Creek. And a lot to get into. Rick, you got a big list of guests today.
Yeah, we really do, Randy. And as you go through it, you're going to see from medical professionals to 7A professionals to a basketball coach that's struggling a little bit. And then a basketball coach from Sylacauga that's 12-0. They're pretty stinking good. So we should have a great show today.
Yeah, no doubt. You got Dr. Jay Savage coming up, Keith Etheridge with Auburn High School, Philip Murphy with McGill Basketball, Joel Jones with Sylacauga Basketball, David Faulkner over at McGill, and then, of course, Mark, you got the Camp Grace segment to wrap everything up.
Yeah, this is kind of a Christmas, a little bit of a Christmas show, since this will be our last show before the Christmas holiday, and we're going to do talk a little bit about Christmas on here today and the meaning of and what it means to us, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it is December the 20th. Have you got your Christmas shopping done? That's
yes.
The question.
Yes, I am done.
You guys got your Christmas present last night. I can tell you right now, there's nobody that boy alive. I wanted to call you at midnight and ask you if the game was over.
We were just talking about some of the texts going back and forth that I had with our gang, as you know, Rick.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting. When anytime you get a text from Dirt, you know, you don't know what's going to be on there. So, but no, we're happy for Alabama and get set to play Indiana now, top seed Indiana.
Yeah, so, New Year's Day, that'll be a lot of fun.
Yep, and we'll certainly talk about that coming up in Southern Fairways. A lot to get into there. We'll talk a lot of college football coming up at that 10 o'clock hour. But a lot to get into, Coach.
Yeah, there's a lot there. We got Jay Savage coming on this morning from Gulf Orthopedics, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about some things in ACL injuries that he's going to talk about a little bit today, which I'm looking forward to. And I think he's even going to try to squeeze in his favorite Christmas memory for us today. So I'm looking forward to talking with Jay about that. He's one of my favorite people and just does a great job as Gulf Orthopedics does a good job getting people back on the court, back on the field, whatever your field of endeavor is, he gets you back out there.
You know, one of the things, Rick, we need to talk about, and, of course, head football coach for McGill, for St. Michael's, Philip Rivers. Got to see him play a little football this past week. I think he plays on Monday night. He'll get the start again on Monday night. What's your thought? You watched him a little bit. I thought he played pretty doggone good.
Well, he's a heck of an athlete. I can tell you that. Football athlete. I don't know about anything else, but for him – 44 years old to go out there and do what he did, I think is remarkable. And I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Fame guy, but that won't happen now until till what 2031. He can't.
Yep, he's got. That's right. He's got to wait 5 more years.
Yeah.
So interesting.
I thought the best thing I saw, and I watched him play Sunday, but the best thing that I saw of the whole deal was they cut away after his touchdown pass to the St. Michael's football team that was watching the game somewhere, and they showed all those kids jumping up and high-fiving and hollering and screaming, you know, there's my coach, touchdown pass in the NFL. You know, how many times does that happen? So I just thought that was a really neat thing, and good for Philip, and good for those kids to see their coach out doing what he loves to do.
Well, and I'm going to tell you something. That ain't easy. That just cannot be easy
no.
at 44.
No, it's not.
To put all that stuff on and to go out. And, you know, I thought what they really did was they made it pretty easy for him because they gave him passes, Mark and Randy, that really he didn't go vertical very often.
Well, he's not at really, you know, watching him throw the ball. I mean, granted, he's still got an NFL arm, but it's not the NFL arm we were used to seeing from him in his heyday. The ball doesn't have the zip down the field that it used to have. But I mean, that's just part of getting older, guys. I mean, that's just part of the deal. And for him to even get out there and stand in that trench with all them big bodies flying around him, and him standing back there throwing the ball, it's an incredible feat, in my opinion. I was really impressed.
He was still talking in between plays, too.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He said, somebody turned. Hey, I got turned on you. Hey, he's talking with his linebackers or something. I'm like, good God, Philip, you're 44, man. Be quiet. Get back in the huddle. That's not him, though. That's just not him.
No. Oh, that's good stuff. That is some good stuff. All right. Wrestling. Boy, that was good last week.
Yeah, we had, Caleb Hall.
He did a great job. I got to tell you the truth.
He did. They're going. I know that wrestling team is headed to Prattville Christian today for a tournament up there. The middle school kids wrestled last night at Robertsdale. I haven't heard anything about that. We've been at our house. We've been getting ready. We had my brother-in-law and his family, his kids and grandkids, and they're all coming into the house last night. It was late, so. I didn't get to find out much about that, but there's a lot of wrestling going on. They'll be wrestling today, and I think there's a holidays tournament usually down on the Gulf Coast somewhere before Christmas. I'm not sure where it is this year.
You know, guys, one of the things, too, that we've got going on is we've lost some amazing people this past week. And, Mark, I know you're familiar with Coach Ben Glover. He passed away this week. James Garner, who's a principal at Pleasant Home and a member of the Central Board for many years, passed away. And then I think one of the best high school point guards that's ever been in the state of Alabama, and that includes Ennis Watley. And Ralph Williams, who was an assistant coach, was a head coach and won the state championship at Hayes in Birmingham. Later became an assistant to a guy that I just absolutely loved, a guy named Cap Brown at Parker, and then he and Marty Smith won a state championship at Mountain Brook. Ralph Williams, as a player, was as good as any high school basketball player I've ever seen. And we lost Ralph last week. And then, of course, we lost Christina Chambers, a sports broadcaster who's a teacher at Thompson High School, now works or then – after she left Thompson, she went to Blue Cross Blue Shield. Just an amazing woman, 38 years old. We did our last state championship football broadcast on AHSAA TV, PBS TV. Landrum Roberts and I, and Christina was our sideline reporter. Such a sweet, sweet young lady. And just an unfortunate death that she died. And her three-year-old survives her, and just a terrible tragedy, and we're going to miss all of them. Ben Glover was Mr. Everything for the people here in Mobile and at BC Rain and all over Mobile. Just a fabulous, fabulous man that we're all going to miss.
That's sad. That is so sad.
Yeah, Ben Glover's one who's got his legacy attached to many young coaches who came through and worked for him and moved on into their head coaching roles, and then they touched other lives. And so, you know, when you hear Ben Glover, everybody knows and respects not just the coach that he was, but the man that he was. And he will be sorely missed. Sorely missed.
You know, his first cousins, Buddy Anderson, and one of the players that loved him dearly was Glenn Vickery, people that we're very close to.
Mm-hmm. All right, we take our first time out. When we come back, we will visit with Dr. Jay Savage from Gulf Orthopedic right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. You know, we say it every Saturday morning. Anytime you can wake up to a little Steely Dan or Boss Gags, I mean, does it get much better than that? We certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster. Coach Rick Cleveland in the studios. And time to go to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line and welcome in Dr. Jay Savage, presented by Gulf Orthopedics. Mark, a guy you know very well.
Very well. Dr. Savage, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mark. I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Doing fantastic. We really appreciate you taking some time out to join us this morning. And I know it's been a busy week there at school. You know, a lot of kids going a lot of places, doing a lot of things, and a lot of ball games going on. But you and I had talked about just talking a little bit this morning about some ACL injuries and just things that you've been dealing with and watching and seeing happen, just how we get kids back on the court.
Yeah, so, you know, well, first of all, Mark, you know, I hadn't been on here with y'all in a little bit, and obviously since the last time, you know, we did, I know y'all have talked about end of high school football and, you know, Super 7, you know, a lot, you know, the past few weeks. But, my experience, first time being up there, you know, from the medical side with Bayside this year. And one thing I just want to say kind of just before we start talking about that was I was just super impressed with how that was run there, you know, and how and from the medical side, you know, how much support was given, you know, to all us individual physicians coming up there taking care of our teams, you know, to make sure that, you know, everybody right. kind of felt comfortable that kids were going to be taken care of, you know, in a kind of being out of town. And so just I know probably something y'all have talked about before, but something I just kind of wanted to just acknowledge for how good a job that kind of, you know, the state and, you know, and Encore working with them does for that event.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I should have brought that out to you and said something about that. But it was amazing how they are into every little thing that goes on and injuries and injury prevention and injury, you know, is really important to them. And it's evident by all the medical personnel that is there, you know, trainers and folks that are there to help each team as they come in.
Yeah. Yeah, really a great way that they run it. So, but yeah, you know, Mark, we just talked a little bit last night just about, you know, what to talk about. And I know there's kind of been, you know, man, ACL injuries just seem like it's something we always deal with in all our sports, right? I mean, it's most common actually in some female sports, and, you know, girls soccer, girls basketball has the highest incidence, but obviously football has some, you know, very prominent injuries that happen. And I, you know, it kind of on a lot of people's minds because, you know, if you watched the NFL football last weekend, two pretty prominent players with Mahomes and Micah Parsons going down with ACL injuries that are mm-hmm. ending their season. And it's something, you know, that over time, you know, as much as we try to do with injury prevention, that incidence is not really changing. In fact, it's actually kind of gone up over time. And not real clear why that may be. It that may have something to do with just increased sports participation, which could be a good thing, you know, in some ways. But still something that, you know, is an issue. Because, man, you know, I know you guys as coaches have dealt with players who have these injuries. And, man, it's a devastating injury. I mean, it takes a kid out for a year. I mean, it's hard on them physically. It's hard on them emotionally. And that's some of the hardest, you know, that's some of the biggest difficulty getting them back on the field sometimes is just the kind of psychological, emotional part when you get back of, can I trust this again? Am I going to get hurt again?
Right.
You know, that's, you know, something that I think we can, you know, as physicians, as trainers, you know, as even as coaches, there, you know, there's a lot of things out there that have been kind of out in the, been known for a while. Some things have been published about, you know, preventive strategies and Even things we can do on a daily basis, kind of with training that take like 15 to 20 minutes at the beginning of a practice, that can help decrease that incidence of injury. Now, it's not going to ever make the incidence zero, but certainly there are things out there that that I think we could do better on. And if anybody's listening, kind of wanting, kind of going, well, what's he talking about? What's out there? There's the soccer world has actually done the best job of kind of working on prevention for these injuries. And there's a program called FIFA 11 Plus. So FIFA's the World Soccer Federation, and FIFA 11 Plus is it's a series of dynamic warm up exercises. You can do it at practices. The kids can do this on their own. I mean, in their own training time and things too. And I would encourage anybody who's like, man, that's something I'm worried about. You know what? If there's a way we could, make there any less of a chance, for my kid, my athlete to not have that injury, man, look that up. It's something very simple and very, achievable that you can do on your own that has actually been shown to decrease incidence of these injuries by about 50%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jay, one of the things I wanted to ask you, and by the way, you spent time in Malibu at Pepperdine?
So I did my sports medicine fellowship in Santa Monica, California, and that's actually
that's awesome.
It was really rough. but actually, part of why I'm so interested on the prevention side of things, a big part of my fellowship out there, we really focused a lot on prevention, and some of these studies and things I'm mentioning right now came out of kind of the group that I worked with there. But yeah, so I got to spend a little time. We took care of the athletes up at Pepperdine, and I don't know if y'all have ever been out there, but nobody gave that to me as an option for a place to go to college. And when I saw it, I was kind of aggravated. Nobody had told me about that.
Jay, one of the things, and we'll get back to medicine in a minute, but Pepperdine, guys, looks right out over the ocean. And when there was a huge tennis tournament there when I was playing, and you talking about it's hard to keep your eyes off of things that you shouldn't be looking at when you're playing in a tennis tournament at Pepperdine. I can tell you that. So,
Rick, I remember covering some baseball games out there, and when you're sitting on their dugout side, from the on the baseball field, it literally is looking out over the Pacific Ocean, and you're just like, man, where am I right now?
Yeah, Jay, what I wanted to ask you was about kneecap displacement. That to me is something that scares me as much as anything. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So also, that's a, very common injury, especially in adolescent athletes, even non-athletes, just a common injury that can happen. So it's a scary injury, because, obviously nobody likes to see their kneecap on the side of their knee, and, it looks really bad at the time, and it is a bad injury. However, that injury in a large percentage of people can actually be treated non-surgically. It takes a little while to recover from, but a first-time patella dislocation, kneecap dislocation, is usually a non-surgical problem. The problem with those becomes if they become recurrent. So if you have that injury, you try to kind of push back to play in too quick. And then it happens again, within the next kind of, maybe 6 week, couple of month period, then you can create a problem where you start to have some instability and something that we might have to address surgically. But I put that in the category of injuries that very painful, looks really bad at the time, but sometimes might not be quite as devastating of an injury as an ACL or something else.
Jay, I'd like for you to – will you tell us again that link that people can go to? I think people would be really interested in seeing that about how to a possible prevention or at least lessening of ACL injuries.
Yeah, so Mike, like I said, the one I mentioned is called FIFA, so FIFA 11 Plus, and that's just the name of the program. And there's if people Google that or ChatGPT or YouTube, whatever, there's tons of information about that, and there's a lot of variations people have created off of it, because that one was really created, like I said, for specifically for soccer players, but has been adapted for a lot of other sports as well.
Thank you, buddy. Hey, listen, I told you last night we're going to put you on the spot. Give us your favorite. How much time do we got? about a minute. Your favorite Christmas memory. Got about a minute.
Okay. All right. I'll try to be quick. You know, I thought about this, and like, you know, I had trouble thinking of one specific thing because everything kind of just came back to family. But you know, one thing I thought about. You guys have any like, you know, recipes that you have to like always make for Christmas? Yeah.
Right.
So we have one of those in my family, and it's a dessert. And I'm gonna tell you right now, it's not even the best dessert. It's like some like pudding, but there's this old family recipe, and it's made it through like tons of people's moves and houses, and it's written down on a little piece of paper, and it's got stains all over it, and it's got, and every year you can't make it until, you know, there's at least a quorum of people there, you know, from the family to do it, and it's got things written in there about how many drinks you have to have beforehand, you know, and things. and the reason it's fun is just because, you know, it's just this thing that brings everybody together, and sometimes it creates arguments about who's doing it right and who's doing it wrong and why doesn't it taste right, but it's something we do every year, and it's I think it just speaks to, like, my best Christmas memories are things like that just, man, get everybody kind of, you know, family together, and kind of get you focused on just being together instead of everything else going on.
Well, buddy, thank you for that. We appreciate you. Appreciate Gulf Orthopedics, and I hope you guys have a very, very Merry Christmas, my friend.
All right, yeah, thank you, guys. Merry Christmas to you all, too.
Take care, Jay.
All right, thanks, Rick.
All right, Dr. Jay Savage right there. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk with Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster. We're hanging out on the back veranda here at Quail Creek, Coach Rick Cleveland.
Veranda. You have to say that with a certain roll.
Veranda. Yes. Coach Rick Cleveland in our studios along with our producer, Steve Stanley. Time to go to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line and welcome in Coach Keith Etheridge, brought to you by Roy Lewis Construction. Coach, thank you for taking time to be with us on a beautiful Saturday morning.
Man, great to be with y'all, man. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Keith, I can promise you, I told you last night, Mark's going to hit you with a good question right here toward the end, and you're going to love that one, I can promise you. But I wanted to, I kind of wanted to kind of just kind of recap the year because, you know, you had a great year. You just had an absolutely great year. But I want you to kind of go through it and talk a little bit about what you'll be doing once you get back in school, but talk about the season and the highlights and the lowlights as well.
You know, we had a really young team this year. We had some older guys, but we have a young team this year. So, like I told everybody at the start of the year, this is going to be one of them years that we're going to grow as we go. You know, it's going to be one of those years where we're going to get better as the year goes on. And we did. You know, we got better as the year goes on. Our kids did a fantastic job of just working really hard and, you know, just growing as we went. I think that, you know, we finished the year really strong. We got banged up right there in the playoffs, you know, which kind of hurt us down the stretch. But, you know, the way our kids fought and scrapped all year long, never quit, you know, I mean, we're down 21-0 in the first round game against Vestavia and fight back and come back and win that game and score 50-something points in three quarters. And, you know, our whole year was like that. You know, these kids never quit, fought and scrapped, you know, ended up runner-up in our region, which was an unbelievable region. You know, our region was loaded this year. You know, we had some really good teams, didn't even make the playoffs in our region.
Yeah.
So to actually get that runner-up and get a home game first round, you know, was really, really good. So, you know, we got a good group coming back next year. So really excited about the group coming back next year. You know, we've got to fill some really big shoes. But I think I've got a young group that's coming up that's going to do a great job.
You know, Keith, one of the things that we've been talking about because of the college football playoffs is playing a team twice.
Yeah.
And the first game you played against Opelika, I told you, and I told Brian Moore, it's the worst high school football game I've seen in 7A in 25 years. Mm-hmm. Because both of you, just, I guess, the rivalry or whatever, but there were just so many mistakes. And when I say worse, I mean from a coach's viewpoint, how frustrating it is when we're making mistake after mistake and other teams making mistake after mistake. It was just a sloppy game.
Yeah. And I think I'll be honest with you. You know, I go back and watch that game. I've watched it two or three times since we played that game. I want to say we had like 16 penalties in that game, you know, at the most unopportune time. I mean, and the crazy thing is, you know, we had 5 holding calls on us. They had 0, you know. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm just like, you know, I mean, it was really, really frustrating, you know. And that night I had a lot on my mind. My mom was in open heart surgery right before the game, and you know, it was a frustrating night, you know. And you know, you don't want to say the best officials are the ones you never see. You know, I truly believe that those guys who do a good job that call the obvious. And it just seemed like that night, you know, every time either team would, you know, get something going. I think they had 4 penalties called on them all night, and we had 16. So it was really, really frustrating. I mean, I was on the sideline. I actually said, you know, I'm on the sideline. I actually turned to one of my assistant coaches. I said, I'm going to have a heart attack over here. I'm going to be laying right beside my mom in a little while.
Good grief. Coach, tell us a little bit about that. You know, you were talking about playing the same team twice. And tell us a little bit about your – I mean, all of us have had to do it at one point or another. How do you go about that, especially if you win the first game? How do you go about – into the second game, what do you tell your kids?
Well, I think it's the same whether you win or lose that first game. You explain to them, hey, look, you know, we've got to correct the mistakes we made the first time, and don't, you know, don't give them opportunities that we gave them the first time. And you know, you got to sort of do the same things that you did well the first time to give you a little advantage. You know. You know, we played the same team twice this year. You know, we had 2 playoff games where we played those teams in the regular season. The team that we lost to, we beat. The team that we beat, we lost to. So it is really hard to beat the same team twice. Now we were beat up when we played Opelika. We gave up an interception, you know, for a touchdown to start the game. Then we gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown, and we lost 31-28. You know, so you cannot, and you're in the semifinals. You can't give up a special team touchdown and then an interception for a touchdown, or you're going to get beat because, you know, you're in the semifinals. You're playing really good teams. But Opelika, you know, we beat them the first game. They beat us the second game. And then Vestavia, you know, they absolutely wore us out the first game, you know, and then we come back and we get them pretty good in the playoffs, you know. So it is really tough to beat a team twice. And I think, you know, you go in – sometimes when you're dealing with high school kids, you know, they go in with that confidence into a game where they beat somebody and they think, oh, this is going to be the same thing. And you try to explain to them, hey, look, it's going to be a lot tougher because they're going to have a mat on, you know, coming in here. They're going to want to prove something. And that's kind of the way it was in both of those games, you know. I think Opelika played really well, you know, in the playoffs against us. And we made some mistakes. And then, you know, we turn around and play Vestavia. And I think that we played really well, a really, really good 3 quarters. You know, after that first quarter, it's 21-0 after the first quarter, you know, and we come back and you know, score 50-something points in second quarter through the fourth. Right. You know, and a lot of that has to do with confidence. You know, we got a turnover right there, scored, you know, and it was kind of momentum, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, talking to Keith Etheridge, your head football coach at Auburn. Coach, all I can tell you is you you need to talk to your girls' coach. And, you know, Central Phoenix City is the number one flag football team in the country. What are you going to do about that? I mean, that's counter-reflective on the boys' team that Central is now the number one team in the country in flag football.
Yeah, they're good. I said, I watched them play, and I was like, hey, a couple of those receivers can play for me. I say they start taking them helmets off when we play them in football. I'm going to be checking for long hair.
All right, Mark, you got to pop in with your question, buddy.
Yeah. All right, Keith. Well, this is Christmas. This is our Christmas Saturday show. We would like for you to tell us. We got about 2 minutes. Tell us your fondest memory or Christmas tradition that your family has that you just love. Whatever it is you want, a Christmas story, a Christmas memory, whatever it is, tell us what it is for you.
Well, I think, you know, we have some, I love getting those Christmas presents that are like uncommon Christmas presents. My wife, every time we win a state championship, she always gets me some little something that signifies that state championship and something that's happened during the year to signify that, whether it be a framed picture or something. But, you know, those years you win, you know, I've been blessed. I've got to win five of them, you know, and those little presents that she gets after we win state championships, you know, I'm just itching at the bit to see those, you know, because she comes up with some doozies. And, you know, I think, you know, my favorite Christmas is the next one. I love Christmas, you know, and it's not as much, you know, me getting presents, but I love seeing, you know, my kids, my nephews, my nieces, you know, when we go for Christmas and get to hang out with family and just get to see them light up when they're opening their presents, especially when they're smaller, you know.
Right.
So it's Christmas is a special time, you know. It's a time you get to reflect on, you know, what God's blessed you with and what He's done for family, and you get to be around family, and regardless how football season goes, you know, it puts everything into perspective.
That's good stuff. That is good stuff.
Yes, it is.
You know, we're blessed to count you as a friend, pal. And
same here.
You know, you've done a heck of a job everywhere you've been. I still remember that dadgum the biggest offensive line. It reminds me of Jess Lanier. I think it looked like they all weighed 300 pounds against our 140-pound defensive lineman. And I'm just telling you, I never will forget that. And that boy running up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And Terry just
said, we had some good ones back then, buddy.
Man, I'm telling you. Take it, Randy.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me, guys.
Thank you, Keith. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas, Keith.
All right. There you go. Coach Keith Etheridge with Auburn High School. Of course, brought to you by Roy Lewis Construction. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some McGill-Tulane basketball. We do that with Coach Philip Murphy right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster. We're at Quail Creek today, and Coach Rick Cleveland is right there in our studios. Coach, I know we're efforting to get Philip Murphy on with us with McGill basketball, but Mark, you said, did you ever, okay.
No.
Okay, you didn't get it. Okay. All right. So, Rick, what you got?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people changing jobs right now. And at Christmas time, and we know that Foley has offered someone the job, and I know a coach has resigned in another place, and we're not at liberty to announce anything because nothing's been board approved, but I think Foley has their coach, and that's an interesting thing. And I know they're going to do everything they can to get that program where they want it to be gotten to, if that's correct, if that's possible. But something that was is really kind of heavy on my heart is our buddy Jimmy Perry. They won a state championship at St. James in 2022, I believe it was, maybe be 21 at St. James. And they're naming the stadium after Jimmy Perry. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, Jimmy's going through a really tough time right now with his health. And, boy, I tell you, talking about prayers being appreciated and needed. If you have an opportunity to get on your knees or sit on your couch or sit in your recliner and say a prayer for Jimmy and Judy and the entire family, certainly are needed. But we're awfully excited, Mark and Randy, that St. James is recognizing the job that Jimmy done. Jimmy's in the Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame. He's coached all over. He's a head coach at St. Paul's for 3 years, head coach at Lee of Montgomery, which is not Lee of Montgomery anymore. But just an outstanding man. He even worked for Coach Dye at Auburn for 5 years as a high school rep there, and took care of all of us as coaches while he was at Auburn. But, Mark, I know you have some fond feelings about Jimmy as well.
Absolutely. You know, Jimmy's one of those guys who every time you see him, he sticks out his hand, puts a smile on his face, and says hello and ask how you doing. You know, just one of those people that you want, you know, you always want to have in your life. You want to have that guy in your life somewhere. And he's one of those guys that if I ever needed anything, I could pick up the phone and say, Jimmy, I need something, and he's right there. And he's that guy. He's always going to be that guy. And, you know, we're praying for him during this tough time, and hopefully he'll be able to come out on the other side of it and get back to sitting on his porch out there over Lake Martin and drinking coffee on Saturday mornings, listening to us like he normally does. So hopefully he'll be getting back on his feet soon and getting around again. And but he is one of those guys and just done a tremendous job. I remember when he was coaching, he was an assistant coach with Spence McCracken at Robert E. Lee back, you know, in the 80s when they were in their heyday. And, man, they had some football teams. And Jimmy was, I think he was the offensive coach for Spence. And, man, they put some guys in the college ranks and just did a fabulous job everywhere he's been. And, you know, he's one of my favorite people. Just have great memories of Jimmy. That boy can hit a golf ball, too, now. I'm going to tell you that. He can flat hit a golf ball. Don't let him kid you.
Yeah, he should.
He's one of the best. There's no doubt. Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite stories about he and Spence is they were playing somebody, and they were getting hammered pretty good. And that didn't happen very often, Mark, when they were at Lee. And Spence comes down to Jimmy, and he says, Jimmy, why don't we try something else? Why don't we run? And Jimmy gives him his play sheet, and he says, here, Spence, you take it. I've tried everything on here. Nothing works. That's funny. That's Jimmy. But, boy, I'm telling you, we love some Jimmy Perry. And he can hit us off, I mean, a golf ball. If you don't believe it, ask that person whose windshield he hit running right by Prattville Country Club that day.
Oh, my goodness. Kind of got away from him.
Yeah, Charles Lee never let him forget about that. Oh, boy. But, yeah, he hits a golf ball a long way, and we're certainly praying for he and Judy during this time. You know, other coaches are moving, too. Jake Gaines wins the state championship at Moody, immediately resigns after they smoke cigars in the locker room. And, you know, Mark, that was
a bad thing.
That's unacceptable, and they've been punished. The AHSAA has punished them. But Jake has resigned at Moody, and not because of that, but he's taking the job at Pell City. And those have been pretty big rivals for a long time over there in St. Clair County. It's going to be interesting how that works out.
Yeah, it is. You know, I don't know enough about that situation to really speak to it, but all I know is that I think – I think Jake has always wanted to go to Pell City. I think that's a place he's wanted to coach. And he did a, you know, just did a great job at Moody. I mean, they're every year they were tough to beat. and of course, winning a state championship this year, and then moving to Pell City. I mean that was kind of like hand written on the wall, you know, because you knew it was coming as soon as he resigned from Moody, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's right there at Pell City as head coach, and he'll make Pell City a winner. I mean, Jake Gainis knows how to do it, so we'll be watching that one to see how it works.
You know, they've had two Hall of Fame coaches there. You can say what you want to about Rush Probst, but he's a Hall of Fame coach. He couldn't win there. Steve Mass went there, and it wasn't a winnable situation. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but Jake certainly got his work cut out for him at Pell City. And that's once a storied program. I'm talking about in the past, years ago, Mark, when we were younger, they were a heck of a high school football program. And for whatever reason, they've fallen on tough times. And, boy, I wish him nothing but the best of luck. Oak Mountain also has hired a new coach, Jason Kirvin. Comes over from, well, he was assistant coach at Pelham this past year. But for the other 3 years before that, he was a head coach over at Alpharetta, Georgia. And Jason's a heck of a young football coach, and he'll do a great job there at Oak Mountain because, you know, I call Oak Mountain the mountain brook of the other side of the mountain. That's where so many, many people who grew up in Mountain Brook have moved over into Oak Mountain in that school zone, and they've got plenty of resources. And wish nothing but the best for Jason Kirvin there at Oak Mountain.
Absolutely. Oak Mountain is one of those places where they kind of run in cycles, it seems to be. They have, you know, a few good years, and they kind of drop off the map a little bit and come back. So maybe Coach can get in there and make that thing one of those, stabilize that program and really get it to where it's just always, always well, tough out every time you face it.
Guys, first hour is coming going. First hour, that's going to be a fast first hour.
Very fast.
No doubt. All right, hey, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some Sylacauga basketball. We'll do that with Joel Jones right after this.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And we certainly welcome you into the second hour of a special Christmas edition of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report as we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in South Alabama. And as previously mentioned, the Fat Pack is back, somewhat separated, but we all are here. Two of the three right here on the back of Randy at Quail Creek. The other one, Coach Rick Cleveland, is in our studios located in the heart of Mobile, right there in our FM Talk 106.5 studios. And Coach Rick, we got a special guest on the line with us, certainly brought to you by one of our great sponsors, Premier Collision.
Yeah, Randy, we sure do. And one of the hottest basketball teams in the state of Alabama is the Sylacauga Aggies. And, of course, they catch us at 106.5 there in Sylacauga. And Lee Perryman, Michael Brannon, and those guys certainly appreciate it. And if I could say one person at Premier Collision who brings us Joel Jones, it would be Jay. Jay from Premier Collision, because he is the guy that says he is in tune with us 52 weeks of the year. Coach, congratulations on a huge win last night that I was just about to bite the bullet on. And thank goodness your players called a great play at the end of the game to win the game, Coach. Congratulations.
Yes. You know, I knew going in that we were going to have a dog bite or a cat bite on our hands. This is the Shrewsbury Tigers. And I knew I was concerned about that game. Since we played Chelsea on Tuesday, and really, to be honest with you, I'm happy to come out of there with the win. What happened on that last play? They were at the foul line, and they made the shot to take the lead. And one of our players slipped out of the pack and got all the way down the court, and they never found him. And with 5 seconds, we inbound the ball. From the inbound, he threw it the length of the court, and he went up, and he put the ball in the basket, and the horn sound. So, you know, it's just one of those unfortunate things for Childersburg, but it was very fortunate for Silicon.
What a great high school basketball game. And I'm trying to watch Alabama with no sound, and I'm watching Silicon and Childersburg in a beautiful new gym. The one, those of us who are back from the 70s wouldn't recognize this gym, but what a beautiful gym they have there. But, Coach, you're down 21-12 at halftime. What was your message to them at halftime?
You know, basketball is a funny game. We went into a lull offensively. We got off to a great start, and they went to that zone again, and it just kind of we sputter. For some reason, we don't make shots. When we penetrate, if there's contact, we lose balls that we shouldn't. We should play through contact, be a little bit stronger, but none of that took place the first half. And walking off that court was 12 points into that locker room. How do you handle that? What are you going to say to your team? You know, you can yell, shout, buzz. I decided not to. I just decided to tell them that we're better than this guy. This is not who we are. And we talked about things along those lines. Somebody's got to step it up out there tonight. We got to take charge of this ball game.
Well, and certainly when they went to zone, it was obvious you wanted to get the ball into the top of the key, into the post, mm-hmm. and then get a pass down low if you could. And a couple of times you did. I thought your dribble penetration was great, but I thought the passing the ball into the paint and then getting a real easy shot from there was a key. And, boy, you guys just did a tremendous job. You've got the three players you talked to me about. I watched all of them, and they're fabulous. They really came to play last night against Childersburg.
They did. You know, we didn't shoot the ball well from the perimeter. And we did play the high-low game against the 2-3 zone, high post, trying to get it down to the low post. The difference in that ball game was the pressure.
Yeah.
We went diamond press, and we rattled them. We backed off a diamond press to give them a different look, a 1-2-2 half-court trap, which we call 12. And we just kind of rattled those guys. And before you know it, we down 4. Then we're down 2. And at some point, we maybe got a 2-point lead or 1 point. I'm not sure. But the way it ended, I kind of hate the way, you know, the official, he blew a whistle that put them on the line with 5 seconds to go. And, you know, it's questionable. But, hey, once it's done, it's done. So, you know, we're out of timeouts. And I'm telling my players, hey, get it out, get it in, and push the ball up the court.
And they certainly did what their coach told them to do, coaches. As you move to 12-0, one of the hottest teams in the state, and I don't like that term, hottest teams. I think it's a consistency that you guys have played. And you got another big county rival coming into your gym tonight at 6 o'clock with the Talladega Tigers.
Yes. You know, this is the mindset. If we take care of business tonight, if we can win that basketball game, we will finish the first half of our season with a 13-0 record. Now, one of the things you establish as a basketball team, you establish team goals. The first team goal is to go undefeated. And who would have thought that at 12 games, we would still be undefeated. So our team goal is still intact. So we just got to come out tonight and try to get into Talladega. They are very athletic. I think the reason we beat them last time was because of our conditioning, and we were just able to outrun them and, take control of that basketball game. But I expect a hard-nosed, hard-fought battle tonight. I do.
We're talking to Coach Joel Jones, the head basketball coach at Sylacauga High School, brought to you by our good friends at Premier Collision, and especially our good buddy Jay, who does just about everything for Chris and, and those guys, Chris and Kim and Tyler. But Jay's the main man there, so we wanted to throw his name in there because he loves high school basketball. And so, Coach, as you approach this season, how many football players do you have playing football and basketball?
We have seven seniors, and five of the seven played football this year.
That's good, Coach.
And I was a little bit concerned as a basketball coach, but listen, the transition has they've transitioned really well. They really have.
Coach, I think it's imperative that we have kids play multiple sports in high school. I really do. And when coaches can work together to make that happen, and obviously you guys have worked together to make that happen, but when you sat down at the beginning of the season, or maybe in this summer, as you were having your basketball month there in June, what kind of season were you expecting from this group?
You know, that's a great question, because – I have, since we left the Final Four, all I've done is think about basketball. And I think the kids they're not into it quite as much as you are. So you're wondering, really, hey, are they going to put the time in? Do they really want to get back? And, you know, they're never going to do it the way you want them to do it, but they put enough time in, and at this point we're right where we need to be. Offensively, we need to pick it up a little bit more, but listen, our defense is just outstanding. We don't have a kid over 6'2", and we work so hard, and we defend so hard, that, and we're so athletic that it gives us a chance night in and night out.
Well, the Diamond Press, I thought, was particularly effective last night. And just a great high school basketball game. And, Coach, you know, you found a way to get out of that gym pretty quick. That lady was giving you directions. I got kind of tickled at the way you, hey, in a rivalry like that, find me the quickest exit.
We did not. See, it was pandemonium. So players was running around the gym, and I was jumping up and down. And she said one of our players said something he shouldn't have. Man. And she went after him. But I told her to let me have a bad enough. I'll take care of him, because I don't want him in her face and her in his face.
So we got to get out of here, but congratulations. Mighty proud of you, Randy.
Thank you, Rick. I love you, man.
All right. There you go, Coach Joel Jones with Sylacauga Basketball. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some McGill football. We do that with Coach David Faulkner right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106. On the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster and Coach Rick Cleveland. Mark and I are on the back, as you said, Mark, the back veranda here at Quail Creek.
Veranda.
Exactly. Hey, time to go back to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line and welcome in Coach David Faulkner with McGill Tooling. Of course, brought to you by Will 2. Coach, thanks for taking time to be with us on a beautiful Saturday morning.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Morning, Coach. Man, I tell you what, it's getting close to that time of year, and, you know, you guys get into the fall, into the off season, and Christmas kind of comes in. But you guys already have a plan for January. Tell us a little bit about what you guys got going on about your football team getting, you know, probably the most important part of your strength and conditioning part of your year is coming up. Tell us a little bit about what y'all got going on.
Well, you know, Mark, you're absolutely correct. I think that time between January and May might be as crucial to winning as spring ball or summer practices or any of those other things may be. And, you know, the first thing that we try to get in and focus on is our strength and conditioning program and trying to, you know, bigger, faster, stronger, as everybody says, and trying to improve our, you know, our physical abilities. And then, you know, the other things that we try to really focus on during that period of time is team building, leadership development, and just trying to come in and kind of figure out, you know, how to arrange this team and find that formula that's going to help us be successful in the fall.
You know, it's one of the things you want. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about, you know, their fall winter workouts and then their summer workouts and then what they do during the season. But there's this time you just talked about in January where it's, you know, there's nothing coming up. We don't have a ball game to get ready for. We don't have a spring game to get ready for. We're not. It's cold. It's kind of the drearier time of the year in the wintertime as far as, you know, playing football is concerned. But in that time is like the time that you hear people talk about, well, we went into the dungeon or we went into the gym and this is where we made our team. What are some things that y'all do outside of maybe the weight training and conditioning that y'all might do to help build some team unity or build some agility or whatever, some things that you feel like your team needs?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think one of the biggest mistakes we make nowadays, at least in my opinion, is we worry too much about playing games and we don't do enough in terms of developing young people. And trying to maybe create some characteristics or at least reveal the ones that they have in order to help them be successful in the game. So some of the things that we try to do is, you know, we kind of break it up into a number of different things. In terms of non-skill development things, we do what we call football 101. We try to teach our guys situational football. So we'll take one day out of the week and take a different situation. It might be red zone, fringe, 2-minute, 4-minute offense and defense and those types of things. And we try to kind of teach them what the situation is and what we would like to get accomplished in that situation. And then the other thing is trying to identify leaders, those kids who have leadership characteristics and those guys that help you as a coach and a coaching staff, you know, push your message forward and try to get everybody on the same team. And I tell our guys all the time, there's no greater pressure in the world than peer pressure. So we try to get those guys on board with us so that we're all on the same page and speaking the same language. And then the other part of it is this team building exercises, you know, just things that make them have to work together to be successful. So they understand that, you know, each of us needs all of us. And that's one of the things we try to push to our team and try to just find some activities that, you know, that incorporate those things.
We're talking to David Faulkner, the head football coach at McGill-Tool, and he's brought to you by our good friends at Will-Tool. And, David, reclassification has been kind of put back on a back burner. Are there any surprises that you think might happen in that Region 1, 6A Region 1, or you think it'll be standard quo?
Well, you know, what's going to, you know, it's kind of, I told somebody the other day when they were asking me, what do you think? And I says, I can't tell you the answers because I don't know the questions. I mean, it's kind of crazy what's going on, you know, in terms of what you're hearing may happen and we may do. I think if things stay status quo, I think St. Paul's may drop down to 5A and then we may pick up somebody else in our region, or we may just have an 8-team region, and that'll be fine too. As difficult as this region is, it'd probably be good not to have another region game in there 1 week. But I don't know what's happening. I fear some of these things that are being talked about might really be a possibility, but I hope we find a way to work this thing out.
Well, we're gonna talk about some of those things in the new year, but there sure is a possibility that there'll be a separation between public and private. And that's something that I think a lot of us fear. I don't know the answer to all of that, and so we'll just wait and see how that all comes out. But I do know this: I know we're better together, and I do know that we don't need the legislature involved with telling us how to run high school sports. Those are two things that I do know. So, other than that, I don't have an opinion on it, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think we are better together, and I'm surely we can all sit down and kind of work this thing out and create as level playing field as possible for everybody involved. And you know, and this is an opportunity for us to look at some things within our state association and make them better and improve them. So I hope that's the steps we take.
Well, all three of us, Mark, are involved in private schools. Of course, I'm retired, but Mark, you're involved, and we'll talk more about this later, because there's always two sides to a story, Mark, and you and David are active right now, and this, I think, is something that will be very important to all of us.
Yeah, well, no doubt. Too, and,
Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I think just real quick, I think you hit it dead on the head. All three of us have been involved with private schools, but we also spent a great deal of time in public school, so I think we have a unique view from both sides.
I agree with you. Before we let you get off, we're going to have a question for you that we would like for you to answer this morning, if you could. You got about 2 minutes now, David. All right.
Okay.
Now, here's the question. It's a really good one. Christmas time is here. Tell us either one of your favorite Christmas memory or a Christmas tradition that you guys have that you'd like to share with us.
Oh, I think Christmas memories are so many. I think as a child, probably when I got my first bicycle around 1975, I thought that was the best day ever. I was a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I got this gold and black bicycle with a number one little racing plate on the front, and I thought that was the best thing ever. And then I think as an adult, as Christy and I started having children, just the joy of watching those, our children, just, you know, open presents and just the joy that brought. And then trying to figure out 2 weeks later if they knew where any of those Christmas presents were located.
You are so right, buddy.
Oh boy.
I get it. Same deal here, man. David, thank you so much for joining us, buddy, and I hope you and your family have a merry, merry Christmas, pal.
You too. Thank you so much, and y'all have a great Christmas.
Take care, David. Merry Christmas.
Yes, well, there you go, Coach. Yes. David Faulkner with McGill Tooling, brought to you by Will Too. I'll tell you what, we are flying through this Christmas edition. There
we're
is
rocking
no
along, man.
We will take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to get into some Christmas stuff.
Yeah, we are.
Presented by Mark Laster.
Oh, my gosh.
Dangerous.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
We're going to let that roll a minute.
Babies in the run around.
Putting your business in the street. Oh, my goodness. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster, Coach Rick Cleveland. The Fat Pack is definitely back. And, Mark, I think we're this segment. Coach, you got a special segment here, don't you, Rick?
No, this is your segment. I thought you'd bring us up to snuff on all the things that we don't know, and that's a lot.
Well, I can tell you my checking account is mighty, mighty low after yesterday.
Well, that's
we
my
got
apologies.
Beat pretty bad.
That's my
Mark.
Apology.
Well,
It's tough out here. And all these guys out here told me to tell you hi. They are playing in the bullpen, and we're seeing everyone out here. So, good stuff.
That's what you and I can't do. So
that's right. That's right. Well, Christmas is just a couple of days away. And the question is, have you gotten all your Christmas shopping done?
Wow. How can I answer that?
Yes, I'm done.
You're supposed to say yes.
Yes.
Complete.
Well, okay. I'm done. I don't know if that's complete, but I'm done.
Well, now, Steve Stanley, our producer, Steve, last week you were telling us that you were headed to Kentucky, right?
Yes. Yes. Heading to around the Bowling Green area, yes, sir.
Sweet. Now, is it snowing up there? Or
I hope not. I'm flying in on, next Sunday, but, you know, a week from now we'll see.
Okay. There you go. You know, Christmas is such a wonderful time, man, because, you know, if you listen to the guys who had already talked to us this morning, and in each one of their statements about a memory or a tradition had to do with family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we've talked about this on this show hundreds of times about how important family is to each one of us and how it's important as we go through our lives to understand the ramifications of what family is all about. You know, I'm so fortunate myself in that I still get to talk to my brothers and my sister and their families. We always are talking to one of my mom and dad. We talk all the time. In fact, I'll call Dad on my way home today from the show. I always call him on the way home from this show. And he and I will talk, and then Mom, she gets mad, and I can hear her going, "Dwayne, let me on the phone." And so she gets on there too. So
Dwayne,
that's my dad's name. And so Mom gets on, and we get to talk, and it's just, you know, I'm so fortunate to have that. That's one of my true blessings for Christmas. You know, as I get older and they get older, having them around is still, because I can still remember as a young man or as a kid, the favorite music we had, or I had, I loved Christmas music, but the favorite album I had back then, it was an album.
You're going to say Bing Crosby.
No.
Nope.
Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet.
Keep talking.
Happy Holidays. It was, and I just loved that. I loved the way them two sang. I loved the music. I loved everything about it. And I can remember in St. Louis when we lived up there, the fire in the fireplace, the Christmas tree lit, Steve and Edie singing in the background, Mom cooking in the kitchen, you know, Dad getting the firewood in from outside, and us kids just sitting around, you know, so happy, so fortunate that we had that our life was like that, you know. And I think of that picture I have in my head of those days, how important that was to my youth growing up. And I think that has held true for our family all these years, and that our family, it's hard to get us all together now because everybody's kids are grown, they're getting married, they're moving off, you know, and so it's hard to get everybody together.
Everybody's so spread out.
Everybody's so spread out, and families get extended. It's just difficult, but man, I wouldn't trade anything for those days of my youth with our Christmases together. They were very special time.
Andy Williams for me. Andy Williams special.
Andy Williams.
Oh, man. And Disney. And Disney. Always got to have the Disney's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it's true.
Absolutely.
Who was Andy Williams' wife?
Mrs. Williams.
No.
Mrs. Williams.
Claudia Lange.
Would have never guessed that.
Would never have guessed that.
No. I wouldn't either. Google just told me so.
You're over cheating. Rick's cheating.
Oh, boy. You know, guys, I think the beauty of Christmas to me is when you have children and you get to watch them and the excitement in their eyes. And now for us, it's grandchildren, but it's always a great memory to see those kids come running down the stairs and look, and look, and then all heck breaks loose.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. I hope that our children we're not losing that for them.
Right.
You know, I was talking to my niece Mandy in here, and her children still got that Christmas spirit. They still believe in Santa Claus and the elves and all that. And I hope we can keep that.
Yes.
And they got to remember the reason for the season too. So
that's right. It's such a special time. I'll tell you I think I've told on the story before, but a Christmas that I'll never forget. And Wes Lathan had a big part of it. Wes was on our staff at Fairhope at the time, and we lived right next close to one another. And Wes, I asked Wes to paint a football field in my backyard, and so he actually our little yard. And Wes did it. I mean, I'm telling you, we were gone to Birmingham to Christmas up there with my folks. Boys were, I don't know, 6 or 7. They were very young. And when I got back, we got back home. It was late, and the kids went to bed. So the Christmas morning when they woke up and they came outside, there was a football field painted in their backyard. Wes had painted it.
That's awesome.
And we had little goalposts that were put up on either end, little plastic goalposts, and the boys got football uniforms, and they could not wait to get up, and they were the wonder in their eyes about how did Santa have time to paint the field, you know? Like, he's very talented. It's all I did, but the kids went out and they got outside and immediately. They put those uniforms on, went out, had a football, and started playing ball outside. And it was just, you know, one of my favorite times I can remember of our Christmases and our family. But, you know, and a part of that, you know, Wes giving of his time to come over and help me out, get that done. And, man, you can't beat that kind
of
stuff.
You know, Mark, speaking of Santa Claus just popped in here. What's up, G?
Man, you get out of town. Well, Santa Claus. I ain't a member of the Fat Pack. I refuse to be.
There you go.
You're getting there.
I'm getting there.
You're getting there.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Not far away.
Oh, my
What's up, guys?
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Isn't it?
Isn't it?
It is gorgeous.
Great day,
man.
For football. A lot of football going on. We're going to be talking about that in the next hour.
Yep.
You got 3 big games today starting at 11 o'clock. You know, Texas A&M
yep,
and Miami.
Yep.
And
yeah.
should be
I got A&M winning that game.
I hope so.
I'm going to miss the first half. I got to go buy my wife anniversary present.
Uh-oh.
Tomorrow is our 25th silver anniversary.
Nice.
Wedding anniversary, so I got to go get a gift. So I'm going
to
miss the first half of that game.
Yeah,
thank you. My brother said that she doesn't deserve flowers. She deserves a medal. For putting up with me.
A gold medal.
Putting up with me for 25 years. Give that girl a medal.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, with Barry Gibson sitting in here, one of the things that I've talked about with some friends of mine around the state, Meridian just hired Tony Vance to come back to Mississippi. And, Barry, Mississippi high school football – in where teams that used to be, I mean, phenomenal. Moss Point was unbeatable. Meridian with Mac Barnes was unbelievably talented. But Biloxi, Jamie Dubose just resigned to go to Bainbridge, Georgia after 2 miserable seasons there. What's going on over there?
Rick, I tell you, that's a great question. I don't know. I don't understand it. Of course, that's where it all started for me, as a player at Moss Point High School, and then as a player at Southern Miss, and then coaching, coming back to Moss Point as an assistant coach, and then get some head jobs. But we played Biloxi, we played Gulfport, we played Meridian, all those great teams you're talking about, back when it was called the Big 8 Conference over there. And it was some of the best football in the South. But I don't know what's happened, and I don't understand it, because now – with all the casinos over there who donate, they have to give a percentage of money to public education. All of those schools have the best facilities they've ever had. New stadiums went up like crazy. New schools, renovations. I mean, they got money now because for so many years they didn't, you know. But to me, it would be a great job to have, because they've got all the facilities, the money that they need to be successful. So at Biloxi, it used to be just a powerhouse. I don't know what's going on. I think kids today are different. I mean, just my opinion. I think today is cooler, you know, to run the streets and, you know, instead of being an athlete. Well, back when you and I played, it was cool to be an athlete. Yeah. So I think that mentality has changed. It's cooler to do something else than put in the work and be an athlete, high school athlete.
It's perplexing to me because I know we played Meridian and we played Moss Point at coaches I've stopped at, and I can tell you, we didn't want any more. No more.
And I tell you what, man, back in those days, Moss Point, Pascagoula, that rivalry, there would be people five and six deep around the fence, both sides of the stadium packed, people standing wherever they could find a spot around the fence. Crowds were just unbelievable. It meant something back then.
Yeah,
it really, really meant something to the communities. And I think that's something else. I just don't know if it means that much anymore to the communities.
That's another school that I've heard recently Pascagoula's going to change hands. So, it's befuddling.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I know Lewis Sims very well. He's the Moss Point guy who is the head coach at Pascagoula. So I hope it works out for him.
All right, we're going to take our final timeout. When we come back, Coach Laster has our Camp Gray segment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
In 1974, I believe is the correct year, 1974, we were, my family, I was 15 years old. I was living in St. Louis, Missouri. I can't remember where I live. We're living in St. Louis, Missouri, and Dad was pastor of the church there, First Baptist Church, Afton, and we went to Sunday night service. And it was the Sunday before Christmas. Christmas was on Wednesday, and it was Sunday night, and we had a candlelight service there at the church. And I love those candlelight services. They're so wonderful. And, you know, Dad talked about the meaning of Christmas and the Christmas story from the pulpit. After the service was over, we all went back home, and normally on Sunday nights we would all – Mom usually had something for us to eat when we got home. The holidays were up, so we didn't have school, so we could, you know, stay up late. For us, it was probably about 9:30 or 10, because there's not a whole lot else to do. We had three channels on the TV, I think, at that time. And so we get home, or we're going home, and open the door, and Dad noticed something was wrong. And I've shared this story on here before, but it is, for me, the most meaningful Christmas I can ever remember. They opened the door, and someone had broken into our house. Man. And they had taken all of our Christmas from under the tree. Every bit of it was gone. There was nothing there, nothing left. It was almost like the Grinch that stole Christmas. I was just glad the Christmas tree was still there. You know, because they had taken everything. Everything was gone. Stockings, everything was gone. And so, to me, it was like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do for Christmas? You know, and my brothers, they were upset. Of course, Danny was just, he wasn't but four, so he doesn't really remember. But myself and Alan and Ginger, we were just sitting there going, this is horrible, horrible, horrible. Anyway, the police came and all the reports were taken, et cetera, et cetera. And we went on to bed, and all of us had the same question. Well, what about Christmas? What are we going to do for Christmas? And none of us really had an idea. Mom and Dad really didn't know what to say. Anyway, the next day, some folks came by, some members of our church came by and visited with everybody, you know, and all week long, you know, for Monday and Tuesday, there was nothing under the tree, you know, and all of us kids were just distraught. There's no Christmas for us, you know. And Christmas morning, we all got up and came downstairs, you know, and under the tree were more presents than you can imagine.
Well,
unbelievable. And we were like, oh, my gosh, you know, what happened? And what had actually happened was that our church members had gotten together and replaced everything that we had lost.
Wow.
And all of us were able to see these presents. And, when, you know, at the time it was, oh, we got the gifts and we got this. Today, as I look back on that, wasn't it? It's what we were given. You know, it was the people who gave to us what they did to give that to us. And I started thinking about how important that was. And that became my most memorable Christmas ever. I can remember looking at my brothers and my sister and all of us crying, you know, that people had done this for us. You know, when God sent his son to be among us, it wasn't done with a lot of fanfare. Okay. There was no room for them at the inn. That is a detail that really matters. Jesus entered into a crowded world at that time, a crowded world, and heaven moved anyway. Christmas reminds us often that our Savior arrived not to impress, but to redeem us all.
Amen.
It was not that Jesus was born. It was why he was born. He was born Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not distant, not unreachable, with us in our joy, in our grief, our doubt, and our need. I hope this season that I can make room, not just in my schedule, but in my heart, to slow down, listen, receive the quiet gift of God's presence. Christmas isn't about what we give. It's about what was given to us by our Heavenly Father.
Ooh. That's a good one right there.
That is, Mark. And I've heard that the Christmas story at the Lasseter House a couple of times in years past. And every time it makes me think about the unity of a church and how the church always responds in time of need. And if more of us could follow the church's example, the church wouldn't have as much to do. It'd be a lot easier.
That's right.
It'd be a lot easier if we could follow that. And it's a time where, you know, Randy, you guys are surrounded out there at Quail Creek by a lot of people that we think the world of and play golf with, but we don't know what goes home with those guys and gals that play golf with us. And you know, there's a lot of people that hurt during Christmas because of family members no longer here and that they've lost in the past year. And we talked about some of those, Ben Glover and Jim Garner, Ralph Williams, Christina Chambers, that we lost this past week. And so you've seen that in your life, Randy, and it's a tough time for a lot of families, but it's a blessing to know that the Savior was born in a manger and we celebrate his birthday.
And again, that's, you know, kind of what we talked about a little bit earlier. I think sometimes that gets passed by a lot of folks, and they just get into the commercial side of Christmas instead of the really reason for the season. And we need to sit back, take a big, deep breath, and remember why we celebrate this time of the year. So, certainly for sure.
Amen.
No doubt. Hey, boy, it's been a fun show today for sure. Just a reminder, coming up at 10 o'clock, we've got Southern Fairway Sports Radio. Bobby Hall is going to be on, Sweet Swinging Bobby Hall. Coach Barry Gibson is going to be on. We'll have Mitch McConnell on. We're going to talk a lot of college football. Got the bowl games coming up. You got the playoffs going on. Maybe throw in a little golf as well. So a lot to get into coming up in just a few moments.
You know, if you want to watch some great high school basketball, the William Mitchell tournament's going on over at UMS, right? I know UMS boys play today at 2:30, but there's a lot of good basketball over there in the gymnasium. You'll want to be there. Folks, remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go. He is always with you. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. Think about all the ones that need you in their life.